Endlich! Germany finally legalizes cannabis, a little bit, as long as you join a Verein, then has a collective meltdown trying to decide which half of a filmmaking team you're allowed to clap for, while Conrad fatally leaves it far too late in his megacan to explain the democratic principles underpinning the Federal Constitutional Court. All rise!
Imbalance hard when news is unveiled. Megan and Conrad with German tales. The German news, it's tough to bear. But with MegaCans, they're ready to hear. Conrad, daily news at hand. Megan feels to spare time to crack those cans. With each sip she takes, the Meg is her shield. But
hi everyone. Yeah, I'm really gonna start now. Hi everybody. It's time for another episode of Megan's Megacan. I'm Megan. I'm here in Berlin with Ex-Berliner Magazine and Conrad Werner. Hello, Conrad.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good.
Happy birthday for last week.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I've had a great couple of weeks.
Have you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. I have a new niece.
Oh, my God.
Margot. She was born on Friday morning and I got to meet her. It was very exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, I was home. I was not home, back in Scotland.
How many have you got now? Nieces and nephews.
Well, I kind of count five, but that's also kids of my cousins and stuff.
Right.
So... Blimey, of my brothers and sisters, then two.
It's a lot of Christmas
presents.
It's all
happening. It's a lot. It's a lot of Christmas presents. It is. But it's delightful. So.
Great.
Little Margot. Right.
Right.
Booze.
Let's get so this show on the road.
So I've kind of gone coke again because, to be honest, I've been a bit disorganized recently and your Späti has a good ish selection, but I am refusing to pay inflation prices for 250 mils. I will not fucking do it. This is not the reason we survived a plague. There you go. So last time, if you remember, you had the JD and Coke with Coca-Cola,
right?
And I was very jealous, so I've got one of those for myself because I want to taste if you can taste the difference with real cola. But yeah. I got you then a Gentleman Jack and cola. And we've had this before, but who can tell? I can't remember if you said there was a major difference or I didn't. It's a fancy one. It's got like a fun thing.
Okay.
So I thought you could kind of maybe test that if you can remember what this one tasted like. And then we can do like a...
I can't remember why the Gentleman Jack is fancier.
I don't know. I'm only going on the tin because it's sort of... ribbed for your pleasure.
It has a certain texture, the tin.
It does,
yeah.
Like a, not matte, but like a rough texture, like for men.
Yeah.
Like so he's a gentleman, but he's also rough and ready.
Yeah, Gentleman Jack. It sounds like a, yeah.
Anyway, it's whiskey and coke in a can. What more can we say? Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, yeah, that's very nice. Quite sweet. It says...
I mean, yeah.
I mean, they always are.
They are.
Double mellowed for smoothness.
Oh, well, which... this is pretty smooth because it's just... it's very sugary.
And can you taste the real Coca-Cola? What's the million-dollar question?
Do you know what? I think I slightly can, but I don't know if that's just sort of psychosomatic. But, I mean, it's delicious.
Okay.
Oh, my.
That's great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. What has been... what's on the fucking docket for today? Let's have a look. Right.
Oh, we should... we have to remind people to support us on Patreon if they would like to.
That would be great.
And then you can have more of this Coca-Cola and whiskey chat.
You absolutely can.
For a small amount of money if you find us on Patreon.
Yeah.
Anyway, or not.
Or not. What you can also do is like rate us and also share it with your pals. Say, I've found this podcast. I couldn't think of any adjectives. I found a podcast you might like. Just send them one of those generated ones, you know, when your phone, like you share something in your phone and it gives you like a little
generated.
You can just do that and then they could also like it. That would be cool.
They can, yeah. Some people actually, we got a message from a listener saying they actually drink along. They buy whatever we are drinking.
Yes.
And then drink. That is the way you're supposed to enjoy
someone
this
who we
podcast.
Accused of being a bot at the beginning of last episode identified himself to us. And we are delighted. You could drink along.
Yeah, drink along.
Could have like a listening party like they used to do when new records would come out and people would go over and just listen to the album. That's the kind of thing I say to teenagers now and feel, I feel like madly old and they just look at me like I'm fucking demented.
Good.
All right.
So what has been happening? What are we going to start with? What's first on your list?
I have cannabis.
Oh, good. Yeah, we'll do it chronologically. So on Friday, the Bundestag passed its cannabis legalization law. And beginning on April the 1st, you may carry around 25 grams of cannabis.
Which is just under an ounce old money.
And you may also grow 3 plants, right. Cannabis plants. I mean, not just any 3 plants.
You can do that anyway.
You can do that anyway.
I haven't banned that yet.
No. So, but what they haven't done, and which the Ample Coalition, our federal government, said they were going to do, was introduce licensed stores, which they have obviously in America and in the Netherlands and elsewhere, Portugal.
And in Canada too. It's wild. I was there in the summer and it's all...
So they've decided to kind of go slow for now and not introduce that immediately. All they've really done is decriminalise the possession. It's just because of the political situation. It's because it's like everyone's being really conservative at the moment. Everyone's kind of gone a bit right wing. Because even like, you know, like all the people who used to be totally in favour of legalising cannabis, for example, Marcos Zurda used to be in favour of legalising cannabis. In fact, he is now against it.
He used to be in favour. That kind of surprises me because I know he's been shouting at those.
Well, back in 2018, he was all about, I'm going to be the CSU Green leader of Bavaria. He was all about, I'm going to join and make an alliance with the Green Party. And this is the future. And the Green Party is on the rise. And I also agree with like climate change is bad and everything. And so one thing he did say in 2018 was that he was in favour of legalising cannabis. Now he's against it where do you start? Because
I don't even know.
Right-wingness. The general sense of right-wingness that is overtaking the country. He categorically refuses to go into any kind of coalition with the Greens. He sees the Greens as the big enemy, as do the CDU as a whole, with Friedrich Merz also against all that kind of stuff. So now they've gone a bit wishy-washy about it. So we're not having the legal stores at the moment. Which, have you noticed a lot of shops, kind of head shops, sort of paraphernalia shops, and they were clearly, a lot of people were
planning
and investing money in shops so that they could introduce these licensed stores. So I imagine this is very bad news for those small businesses and entrepreneurs who were kind of betting on this.
It's going to be like PR all over again, where they keep saying, we're going to have these shops, and people are mildly delayed for things, and you can't. I'm just going to end up with lower quality cannabis shops. Like the absolute crap we've got in BER. Okay.
Have you ever been in a licensed store in Canada?
No.
I went to one in Colorado just to see what it was like.
I didn't go into any of them. I don't know.
I bought some jelly beans.
Yeah, you can get the little gummies. Everybody loves those, don't they?
Yeah, they were very strong. You
have to be careful with ingesting.
Apparently you do, yes. So, that's a story for another time. What happened to me in Colorado thinking that a one little jelly bean won't make a difference.
What can one jelly bean do? Well.
Yeah. So that is not happening in Germany.
This is kind of interesting because this is a federal decision. This has been brought across all of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people in Berlin are listening and being like, 25 grams in 3 plants? That's like, I don't think on the ground it's going to make any real... And like, it's so... Or I don't... Maybe it's just kind of like my privilege as well. I'm sure some people are getting done for like cannabis and stuff. But it's also like, you go to bars, people are smoking weed or on the street or whatever. I don't know. But the stores are going to be kicking that can down the road because we're doing that brilliant thing where our response to the rise of the far right which we know is bad, and the response is going to be, well, we can also be right wing. Ha!
So the next stage is from July 1st, private clubs with up to 500 members will also be allowed to grow cannabis plants collectively and distribute it to their members.
Yes! I'd fucking heard about this. It's the most German thing ever. You have to form a Verein.
Yeah.
Yes. Someone told me about this ages ago and I wasn't sure whether it was actually going to happen. Oh my God. You can form a... So for anyone who doesn't know, like a Verein, it is like a club, yeah. But it's almost like it's beyond... It's this German kind of institution of... And all sorts of things have Vereins. And there are kind of specific rules and legal grounds for them and everything. And it's all of this, like, there'll be meetings and people have to write the minutes of the meeting. Oh, God, yes.
Imagine being stoned and having to write the minutes of the meeting.
Oh, I want all of this content. But, of course, no one will produce this content because German content is so terrible.
Well, you could form a Verein. Why don't you form a Verein?
No, I want to make like a mocu-series of people doing this. Yes, this is brilliant. Okay, so that's from the 1st of July.
So you have to appoint a treasurer.
Do you have to have 500 members or it's up to 500
members? Up to 500, yeah. You don't have to have 500 people.
So. And then what can you do?
You can grow cannabis collectively and distribute it amongst yourselves.
I love this.
Do you want to know about some of the restrictions on cannabis use under the new law?
Yes.
So it is to be banned near schools, near kindergartens, near public playgrounds, sports facilities, and on pedestrian areas in city centres between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m.
Once again, not sure that there's going to be that much difference in the keys that I live in, but hey-ho.
But yeah,
we're going to start policing that now. It'd be a bit weird.
You can't sit around in a playground where there are kids playing and smoke weed.
That, to be honest, seems a bit sad to me, because if you really like weed, it's not my poison of choice, but no, like...
We like mega cans.
We do, and like you can sit and have a mega can.
Yeah.
You can sit and have a mega can in the playground. You can drink wherever you want. Actually, yeah. I don't really know. Yeah, surely you can. But this whole legalization thing, it doesn't benefit that many people. But what it might benefit is parents of young children who feel very, oh, I've got to give that up to be like a proper member of society now. Being on a playground must be so fucking boring day after day, hour after hour. People judge you if you're on your phone and they say, look out for your children. Why did you have them if you're just going to be on your phone? Let them have a little spliff. And then dads can make friends with other dads. I don't think dads are very good at making friends. And then they get sad and depressed. And then they have affairs. It's all terrible. I say, let them... I mean, maybe
pass
not...
Pass around a spliff.
I'm just trying to get myself cancelled here so I don't have to do this anymore. Like, I really fucking hell.
Okay.
Okay. Well, what other restrictions? Was that it?
That was it. That's all the ones I've got. Yeah, we're not going to have the coffee shops anytime soon.
Okay.
That you'll know about. It's basically just for private consumption. So that is the cannabis news.
It's so weird when they do this. Their whole thing is like, oh, but criminality is bad. And it fucking is. People are being horribly exploited in the drugs trade. But this just kind of like, it doesn't address any of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to make conditions any better for the guys that are having to have more on this than them because they've been like trafficked into the country or sent essentially to like sell drugs in Görlitzer Park. It doesn't protect them. It's not going to get them into a union or a Betriebsrat.
Speaking of which, what do you think about the fence?
Oh, don't fuck. If you want to hear my thoughts on the fence, I appeared on Radio Spätkauf.
Oh, okay.
So you can look them up and talk about it. But fuck off with your fucking fence. Fuck off.
Good.
Ludicrous. Well, I'm going to go round girly every time I need to get... No. Absolutely not.
It trebles
the distance from my house to my boyfriend's house if you're on your bike. Trebles it.
Well, we should write a stern letter.
I can't be arsed because then Wegner. I have to write it in German. Oh, fucking Kai Wegner. Don't get me started on him.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
Kai Wegner was at the Berlinale at the weekend.
Segway.
The Eklat. Do you like this German word, Eklat?
What is Eklat?
It's like a... It just always reminds me of Eclair. That's why I like it. There was an eclair at the Berlinale Gala.
Right.
At the weekend, the prize giving gala.
Yeah.
On Saturday night, and there was a big eclair because the winner of the best documentary.
Yeah.
Which was called No Other Land by Basel Adra and Yuval Abraham, Palestinian and an Israeli filmmakers
and activists.
Yep. And it was a documentary about the illegal occupation of the West Bank.
Yeah.
And it won best prize and they got on stage. And obviously they are quite political people, so they made a political speech about it.
Well, I've actually seen bits of this or heard what they said. And in any other, on any other stage, at any other, literally you would be hard pressed to find a stage in the world where what they said could be seen as anything other than just like facts.
Yeah. But the German media has kind of slightly lost its mind about this speech and so, decided that it was all really anti-Semitic, what they were saying, even though one of them obviously was Jewish.
And like Jewish Israeli, so
yeah,
like,
and there are all these people, like the politicians who were actually there,
yep.
and in the audience and filmed applauding,
yep.
were falling over themselves the next day,
yep.
to condemn what they heard, including the mayor of Berlin, Kai Wegner, the cultural state minister, Claudia Roth, the minister of state for culture, Claudia Roth, who was also there and also just clapped along like everyone else. And there was just like a big thing about, oh my God. And everyone just lost their minds because they used the word occupation. Like they said they have to end the occupation, which is like, isn't that a matter of international law that it's considered an occupation?
Literally is.
They were saying like, you can't, if you use the word occupation, apparently that's anti-Semitic now. Yeah. So they kind of got, people got very, very, very excited. And also because they called for a ceasefire, that's also anti-Semitic, obviously.
It's absolutely insane. Like, and really worrying, and like this insane landscape that we now live in, even taking it out of the sort of Middle East context and putting it in with what you were saying before about like, we are seeing a massive shift to the right in the last few years in Germany. And like this staunch support of Israel is a right wing that aligns itself on the right. There's a weird kind of German anti-Deutsch Linke thing, but we can't get into that right now. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be seen to be strong on these things and like constantly reiterate about the like atrocities that Hamas committed, which no one is denying. And Kai Wegner is like, I expect from the new directors of the Berlinale to make sure that these events don't happen again. What we're censoring.
Yeah, and also Marco Buschmann, the justice minister.
Oh my God, yes.
He said he was going to explore legal paths, you know, whatever that means, against the Berlinale. He didn't really specify what legal paths he was going to explore, but he kind of threatened some kind of legal action over what happened during the... And that's the federal justice minister.
That's absolutely fucking terrifying. Well, either it's terrifying, right? Or... what's possibly more likely is that they're just saying this shit because they feel they have to cover themselves. Like, that's not actually going to happen. And I hope it's the latter, but it's also then completely, like, disgusting behavior. Like, what's it, Claudia Rothmann?
Claudia Roth.
Roth, who is already no friend of the Berlinale, apparently, because she's cut their funding, has she? Anyway.
Yeah, but I think that's probably not her fault. I mean, I think that they're trying to save money generally, so they cut the federal the federal contributions of the Berlinale has been cut a bit. Okay. And the Berlinale has got smaller the last few years.
But she then tweets the next day because everyone was like, oh, but you were clapping along in the audience. And she was like, yes, but I want to make clear I was only clapping for the Jewish director, for the Israeli.
Did she really say that?
She...
How did she make that clear?
She tweeted it.
Oh. Anyway, but she did also say, I just think, okay, you know, like, even if you don't agree that it's an occupation or you don't agree that it's genocide, even if, like, obviously, but I still think those like that should be up for debate whether you can use those words or not, you know, like so using the word should be allowed just for the principle of public debate, and just like everyone losing their minds
and this is the thing
over so just saying these words.
I know, and it's I I'm currently subscribing to the I was just checking that she had said something like that, and she did.
Okay.
I get these emails from the Tagesspiegel now because I've got like a 30-day trial with them. It's really interesting because they send you like these emails of like, there's one always about like the Ukraine, about Ukraine and these various topics, and then there's like a roundup, and the editor-in-chief took it upon himself to put something together and then have an email to all the subscribers of Tagesspiegel about this. And the word he used was like beschämend. It was shameful. And he says it's shameful because when you say these things, it shuts down discourse. No. What shuts down discourse, like we're just so used to in Germany only hearing one side of this debate. And now that is with the shift in politics kind of worldwide and changing power structures, and the West can no longer completely control this narrative that it had through the 20th century of like, we are the force for whatever. Things are changing. Younger people have very different like political views and everything. And so now we are hearing from both sides in a lot more of this. And then this is what this discourse looks like. How is having an Israeli and a Palestinian duo direct a film together and then show it not part of that discourse?
Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely insane. Like, this is literally what discourse about this topic looks like. And it doesn't mean that you have to fully agree. And you can be like, well, I actually think that it's a bit more like this or whatever. Or you can have a problem with how they made the film. But then, say I'm going to criminally fucking investigate you because this one-sidedness... And it's also this one-sidedness of like, there's a Jewish Israeli on the stage. And I'm not saying you take his voice for gospel truth, poor metaphor to use. But what they mean with different sides and like differentiated, like a differentiated and complex debate is we want to hear ways in which what Israel is doing now is justified. And it's unfortunate that it's just unjustifiable now, I think. Like, it's not getting to that stage. But Germany or the German politicians or German media, I don't know. I don't even think that much of the public anymore. It's just... Anyway, sorry. Fucking hell. I have this vision that the AfD is going to just slowly rise to power. And, like, Wagenknecht's going to be in there. The CDU will split and then give them a majority. And then that'll be it. And everyone will be writing editorials about, oh, how did this happen? How did this happen? And at some point in all of these editorials, there will be the line, yes, but we must also remember the atrocities committed by Hamas. And that is what's going to happen.
Well, it's funny you should mention the AfD, because obviously they were disinvited from the opening gala of the Berlinale last week. And then they obviously had a field day yesterday when all this controversy was kicking up, and one of them tweeted, I'm glad we were disinvited from this anti-Semitic organization called the Berlinale, you know, like
So there you well done everyone.
Well done everyone
with your absolute like insane triggered response to this and all these mad tweets.
Yeah, I mean,
and your absolute inability to stand in any position where you go, do you know what? Maybe we need to have a bit more of a discourse about this because the International Court of Justice is saying, oh, genocide is occurring. Like, if you don't have the conviction to do that, then, like, we don't have a hope of resisting the AfD because everyone is just going to cover their fucking asses and try and scramble for whatever pitiful part of the votes. And like, I don't love the Greens at the moment, but I do think that of like Baerbock seems to be the most like able to kind of say something remotely sensible on this.
Talking of resisting the AfD,
Speaking of bolting the stable door after the horse is gone.
I'm really good at the segues this week, aren't I?
We're doing really well. Do you think it's maybe because we just have the same themes, which is...
it's fine. I'm, you know. Anyway, yeah, this is going to be... I probably should have done this part of the podcast earlier.
Oh, are you going to have to explain something technical whilst drunk? Yes, it's my favorite part of the show. We should make this a part of every show. In fact, it was really great when we had one of our listeners ask us about the Volkswagen thing, and we looked, you know.
Yeah.
You did all the work, and then I just reacted to it. But if people would like to suggest complicated things that they don't understand about German politics for Conrad to explain in the latter part of the Megacan, please.
Okay.
Send them in.
It is actually one of the things I enjoy doing the most in my job is explaining the German constitution. I'm really kind of boring that way.
It's fascinating.
I think it's interesting too, but it's like, you know, it gets a bit technical. But there's a thing called the Federal Constitutional Court, which is the highest court of the land.
Yeah.
The equivalent of the US Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently for decades now, professional lawyers have been debating how to strengthen it and how to make it more resistant to
fascism proof.
Yeah, make it more AFD proof, essentially. And now, in the last few years, it has become a more urgent debate because of what happened in Poland and what has happened in Turkey and what happened in Hungary, and also, to some extent, what happens in America, although that was a different system. But the idea that when an authoritarian gets into power, one of the first things they do is try to get the court on their side, because the court is one of the sort of bastions of safeguarding democracy. And so now these German lawyers are like in the news again a bit, because they are talking about what reforms that could be brought in to strengthen the constitutional court, just in case there was ever a situation where the AfD had a majority in the Bundestag, or you know, any other, like, or even were big enough to blockade other people. So
shite team they're going to put together.
And what's quite interesting, what I learned today, is that the Constitutional Court is not as founded in the Constitution itself. So the laws regulating the Constitutional Court are not set down in the Constitution. They're set down in normal laws. There's like a normal law which says what the constitutional, how the judges are picked, how long the judges are allowed to stay in power, all those kinds of things. That is regulated in a normal law.
Okay.
And the normal laws are easier to change than constitutional laws. So
interesting.
You can't change the constitution without a 2/3 majority, like in America, without a 2/3 majority.
So this is like the constitution is the Grundgesetz.
Yeah.
It's called the basic law. And then the other thing is just like the Gesetz.
Yeah, just a normal law.
Okay.
So, like, for example, the cannabis law is just a normal law, right?
Yes.
And it could be overturned by the next government.
Okay.
There's no, it just, whoever has the majority in parliament gets to make a law. But a constitutional law, like a law in the that is set down in the basic law, the constitution, that has to be, you need a 2/3 majority.
Right.
And those laws and the constitution does not have a lot to say about how the constitutional court runs, weirdly.
So we can bang on and on and on about the constitution. You can't tasten the dignity of a mensch. You can't, like, all of this stuff that is enshrined in the constitution.
Yeah, you can't violate the dignity of a human being. That's the first article.
So, but the problem that these lawyers are very cleverly pointing out, as we always do, is like all of that is for shit because of these other laws, which you only need a parliamentary majority, which means fucking whatever loons are in like 4 years' time, they can fuck with the normal laws governing the constitutional court, which will mean that the constitutional court can become very quickly just a puppet of the state, and they will start to define, because that's all a court does. It goes, well, how much of the dignity?
Yeah.
And how do we define person?
Yeah.
We define it as a German citizen from, you know, four generations or whatever the fuck they want to do.
Exactly.
Okay, so you're a lawyer and you're constantly having to do the boring stuff of like, and everyone is like horrible to you and saying, oh, lawyers are such assholes. And they're just being like, please stop. My mom is a lawyer and she's constantly just like hearing people's like, yeah, but by law you could do this. She's like, no, don't do that. Because people are crazy. So they're all being like, right, let's change. Let's tighten up these laws about the continue.
Okay.
I think we're all in this. I'm just
so
drunk.
The big thing.
Maybe our listeners won't be as drunk as me. So they'll be like, yes, Megan, everyone apart from you has got it.
No. You're just explaining it to yourself at this point. The big thing is picking the judges, right? How do you pick the judges? And at the moment, the system is any of the parties in the Bundestag can nominate a judge, but you need a 2/3 majority of all the MPs to appoint a judge, a new judge, which means that you have to have broadly, you know, like you have to have a broad consensus,
right?
Which means often the judges that they nominate are ones that are not going to be like, the CDU aren't going to nominate like someone really right wing, or the SPD isn't going to nominate someone really left wing, because they know the other party won't vote for them.
Okay.
So there's this broad, there has to be some kind of consensus.
Right.
But within the parliament. But that, the fact that you need a 2/3 majority in to pick a judge, that is only regulated by a simple law, by a normal law. So that could be changed. So if the AfD got into power...
Oh, God, they can change that law. Oh,
they could say,
Get that changed.
They could say, we want to change the law and have it so that, oh, you only need like 50% of the parliament. And so we can appoint... That would essentially mean that the government could appoint a judge. And that is exactly what has happened in Poland. That's exactly what the Polish situation was. That it's called court packing. So that the government... basically packs the Supreme Court with friendly judges that they know will agree with them, and that's also kind of what happened in the Supreme Court in America, but that is different because the president gets to decide who the next judge is. And also
it seems absolutely mental America. Like,
the other thing,
well,
about
the system we have in Germany also seems not ideal, because you have to have 2/3 of parliament. But in America, it's just one man. And it is always a man.
And the other thing is, in America, they're judges for life, right? That's what happened. If you become a Supreme Court judge, unless you resign, you're a Supreme Court judge until you die.
So much, I've been thinking, I love this, teaching it. Like, so much of their stuff is just, like, young ideological guys who are, like, a bit pissed.
So, in Germany, the rule is 12 years, and you can't be renominated. So, there's a limit of your term. Whatever, if you're a judge, you're a judge for 12 years, and you can never be a judge again. So, you can never, there's never an election. So, that's supposed to safeguard against judges making decisions based on how popular they think it will be, because they can't be elected.
Okay.
They can only be appointed, and then once their 12 years are up, then they're no longer.
And how easy is it to get rid of one of them? Like, can you?
Oh, well, just knows? Like sack
right.
one.
Sorry, I'm too drunk.
The German Constitutional Court has 16 judges. They're two chambers of 8.
Oh wow!
Each has a president, and they each deliberate over, and they don't have legislative power. All their power is to judge whether or not a law is constitutional or not.
Yeah.
They can't like make a law themselves, you know.
Okay.
So that's kind of obvious, but yeah. Anyway, that is that. And so that's what they're talking about changing now. The new government, our federal government, wants to change it, and it has the support of most jurists in the legal profession in Germany. Also, think that, you know, they've come up with solutions to this and how it should be changed. The CDU is the key player here, because obviously the government can't do this on their own. They need a two-thirds majority, so they basically need the CDU on side. And the CDU at first was like, well, I don't know if we need to do this. But now they are also kind of saying, okay, maybe we should, we are on this side. Like, because the CDU is like, obviously they're in opposition, so their reflex is to be against whatever the government does. But even they are kind of saying now, okay, maybe this does make sense to some extent. And so they are talking about changing these rules to make it more difficult to, basically make it more difficult to change the makeup of the constitutional court in the future. So that's more or less it.
That is really, really interesting. And this might be a good like litmus test. And I think the current political situation in Germany, like the AfD is gonna do whatever the AfD does. And like Sarah Wagenknecht on the other and we've got the Werteunion, but that CDU, and because they're polling pretty well at the moment, because the Ampel, because of the fucking FDP fucking everything up in the traffic light coalition. Anyway, so people keep talking about the like Brandmauer, like the defense against fascism. Yeah, and it's
the firewall. All
going to come down to the CDU.
Yeah.
Which is slightly terrifying, but like it's this kind of like little thing that's going to show, I think, us as a society whether the CDU has it in them to really realize the gravity of the situation now that the AfD are so popular. Because if they start letting shit like this slide and they're still trying to cling on to power, they're going to end up normalizing working with the AfD and going to coalition with him. I won't be here anymore. Like, it sounds hysterical, but like, I do now have like an exit plan and like.
Yeah. Well, you're partly Canadian, so you can always escape there.
Oh, God, if Canada falls to the fascists, I'm absolutely fucked.
So this new legal proposal is to anchor all the rules to do with the constitutional court, anchor those in the actual constitution, so it would be much more difficult to change it. That's the idea.
Want to do the whole thing, like all of the
So when you pick a judge, that is that the rules for how you pick a new judge are in the constitution. Okay. And so you can't change them unless you have two-thirds majority of the parliament, which is obviously much more difficult than 50%.
Okay.
51%. Yeah, that's it. I don't really want to go into more detail than that because I don't know any more detail.
Okay. That's fine. That is a lot more detail than I knew starting out here. So that is good. And we will maybe, is there a timeline on when this decision will be made, or it's just...
Well, there's a draft law has now been submitted, and now that means it'll take, you know, it has to go through the relevant ministries and everyone has to discuss it. Then there has to be a parliamentary committee.
FDP has to have their obligatory fucking...
Not
really a question, more like a comment. How's this going to affect business? Shut the fuck up. Business? Business is immaterial, you fuckers.
That is probably what was going to happen, yeah.
Haven't had a lot to eat today. This mega is delicious. How was your Gentleman Jack? Was it smooth, but also a little bit rough and then classy?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a gentleman in an old-style club, you know, in London or something.
The best kind of person. Sorry, not the best kind of person to be, because they're... safe from a lot of the worries and anxieties we talk about in this podcast.
I feel like a gentleman Jack.
A gentleman Jack. Okay.
Okay. Great.
That was a lot.
I think we covered everything.
I think take good care of yourselves, everybody. We love you. We really do. Yeah.
Let's see what happens. And,
we're just going to have to put all our hopes in the CDU's moral compass.
Exactly. So here's
just
to
look
the
at Freedom Mouse's little face.
Just look at.
So, I don't know. Maybe he could just start fucking tanning weed.
Cheers.
That would be good. Chilling the fuck out a bit.
Cheers to the CD's moral compass.
Hey. All right.
And on that note.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Stay safe.
Yeah, stay safe.
Still can. The German news, it's quite a test. With Megan's Mega, you're feeling refreshed. Ooh. Megan's Mega can. German news in English with a cocktail can. Deutsche Nachrichten's in Düster und Schwer. Down the Mega.
Defy the fear.
Yeah.
It's actually quite a positive message to give to people.
So.
I like to think that we have quite a positive impact on our listeners.
I hope so.
Because we try and get them to defy the fear of listening to the news all day.
I mean, it's better than reading a German newspaper, surely.
I would definitely recommend listening to our podcast more than reading any German newspaper.
German newspapers barely have pictures. So. Like, fucking, it's just a brick of text.
Oh, yes. And they seem to make a virtue of it. They think it's, like, so great to have no text.
Not like you Americans with your fucking...
colour pictures.
decadent pictures in your newspapers.
Yeah,
What's that, a crossword puzzle? Oh! No wonder you had Trump. Jesus Christ, everyone. Like, there's a middle ground.
You have to concentrate on the news. It's very important. Oh. You have to, like, keep it there.
Have a mega.
Give us a picture every now and then.
Just a wee picture, maybe a, you know,
yeah,
a diagram.